Hey guys, welcome back to the Breaking Western podcast. I'm Angela Meyer. I'm here with Abby Peters.
Yep.
And today we have a very special guest. We are talking to, I'm stoked about this, 76 and Riveted, also known as Ashley Rads. Oh, Ashley, how are you?
I'm good. So my last name is Radizowskis, so
that's
quite difficult to say and spell. So just call me Ashley Rads.
It sounds pretty cool, the abbreviated version.
It really does. So how did you get the name 76 and Riveted?
Yeah, so my husband and I bought a 1976 Airstream camper trailer
that we were gonna
restore. We got partially done and then sold it. So the name came from the year of the trailer being in 1976, and then the term riveted is used for Airstream, I guess, like culture. And then rivets are also used in leather work. Like, it was the most creative thing that I could come up with at the time.
Oh, it's so good.
It is. It's perfect.
Yeah. And little known fact, Abby and I have wanted an Airstream for a long time.
The longest time.
It will happen at some point.
If anybody out there has a silver bullet that they're just itching to get rid of,
send the Coors Light our way.
My advice is buy a new one because the old ones are a pain in the ass to work on.
Ashley, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do?
So, I live in Amherst, Virginia. It's a little town in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Beauty.
And I do my leather work from home. I just have a spare bedroom set up, and it has entirely way too many sewing machines in it and leather piled up everywhere. But it's nice being able to work from home. I can go outside whenever I want, ride my horses, go hiking up the mountain, play with the dog, chickens.
I feel like I know a lot of your characters too because of your leather work. Are you inspired by, you know, putting your animals into works of art?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I do a lot of
Yeah.
My dog is always hovering, so he's in a lot of my pictures.
He's so cute. So,
yeah, I tend to stick with themes of, you know, things I like, horses, cows, flowers, birds.
And then how did you get into doing the chain stitching with it? Or what came first, I guess? Chain stitching or leather?
The leather work came first, and then I think I was just on Instagram looking at sewing machines. I don't know how it came up, and I saw this really unique sewing machine. Somebody was making a chain stitch patch with it, and I was like, oh wow, I need one of these machines. It's cool. So then my husband was just searching marketplace and found one, luckily, because they're all old. Like, my machine's almost 100 years old.
Oh wow,
that is wild.
And then so we got that, and I just, you know, it kind of took off.
And so are you self-taught?
Yep, self-taught with everything, actually.
Wow.
How'd you do that?
Yeah. A lot of YouTube videos and books.
I love that. I feel like a lot of people, when they get started, want to take this way of, like, asking someone who's already doing it and being like, teach me. It just makes me happy that there's still people out there that take it upon themselves to learn something.
Get after it.
Instead of taking, you know, somebody else's time. What does that look like for you? Do you have a lot of people that come up and ask you, can you teach me how to do that?
Yeah, I get messages a lot, and usually I try and help these people out. Just even if they're asking what kind of tools or where to get tools, where to get leather, and then recommend books and YouTube videos to them. The leather community it's a good little community. Like, someone's always there to help you if you have a question.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Have you found that that's ever burned you? Like, somebody that knows how you do your things and then starts trying to knock you off?
I haven't had that happen to me. Usually the people who ask me are wanting to make their own designs, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So it hasn't come from anyone that I've actually helped. It's always people that you don't know that are creeping
right
on you.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was cool you have a tip section on your Instagram highlights that, you know, I could tell from that you definitely want to help people out and give them what you're doing. That's cool.
Yeah, I've been slacking on that lately. Since I've posted a tip, probably pick that back up.
So what, have you ever been knocked off? You said you haven't been by somebody you know, so have you been by somebody that you don't know?
Oh, yes.
Tell us about it.
Tell us more.
So, actually, last week, I was on Facebook. I belong to a couple, like, leatherworking Facebook groups, and someone had posted a picture of this purse, and it had my exact copied design from a wallet I had done maybe 3 years ago.
Wow. Mm.
So I commented on it. I said, the purse looks great, but you copied my design from this wallet. And I posted a picture, and the lady was like, I didn't know. I thought whoever made it would be flattered that I copied their work. And I think, honestly, people just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that you put all this energy and time into something, and then they copy it and think that they're going to be flattering you in some way.
We have had so many conversations about that phrase, imitation is the is the best form of flattery, but in this industry, that's not necessarily the case.
And so I guess you wanted to talk about Pinterest a little bit,
mm-hmm.
So I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Pinterest. Like, in the beginning, it was good. You could post directly from your website to Pinterest. People could find you that way. But now, it's like your designs have been on there for years, and it's all the older stuff that keeps getting recopied. And, like, anybody can steal an image from your website, Instagram, Facebook, put it on Pinterest, and then it just goes viral.
I noticed that in some of your more recent posts, you've started adding your handle or your name with text into your photo. What happens when people are just constantly reposting your images? Like, is there any way that they can trace that back to you, or does it just kind of get lost in the interwebs?
I think it just gets lost. I haven't seen any of my recent posts with my name on it on Instagram, so I don't know if that, or I mean on Pinterest, so I don't know if that helps, like discourages people from reposting the picture to Pinterest.
A shift for you, when did you start adding that and why?
I would have, probably 2 years ago I started adding it, and I did it because there was this one girl on Instagram who was posting not just my work but other people's work and saying it was hers and trying to take custom orders from it.
Oh, wow.
So whoops. I started adding my name to all my pictures, so if she was gonna steal my picture, she would have to crop it out of there, or, you know, just not use my picture because it's in the middle of it.
Yeah. People are looking for a design and they go elsewhere, and they're getting something that obviously is not going to be the quality of yours. It's a knockoff, whatever. How are consumers going to know the difference if they touch it, if they look at it? What are some details that people could look for that tells them, like, hey, this is not an original, or it's not the highest of quality?
Well, usually the texture of, like, mass-produced or imitation leather goods isn't there. Like, it almost feels plasticky, where real leather is gonna just feel amazing and have lots of texture, and it's gonna smell good.
I love that.
Yeah. So then on that same note, how does somebody know that this is a 76 in Riveted? This is an Ashley original when they pick something up?
Usually stamp my maker mark somewhere on the piece, and it's just my name and a little flying pig symbol.
Tell
where
us
did that come
from?
Yeah, tell us more about that.
Tell you about the flying pig symbol. It's kind of that saying, like, you know, when pigs fly.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. But you've never had, have you had anything ripped off as far as somebody sending it to China and then mass producing it? Or has this been more of a maker to maker knockoff?
I think I've had one piece that's gone to China. It was like this blue fringe bag with florals down the front. I was told by another maker that they rip off ideas from going to events like the NFR. Like, they'll just go poach designs from all the handmade makers there.
Wow.
Which sucks.
Yeah. It has to almost be discouraging for you guys to want to put yourself out there.
It is. But, I mean, if you are a small maker, it's like, it's a double-edged sword. You need Instagram. You need the internet.
Right.
You need to go to these events. And then, you know, people are just poaching your designs.
We were talking to Mackenzie with Double M Beadwork a little bit about this. Is there an option for you guys to sell your designs in a way that benefits you to some of these bigger companies? Like, is there a way that you could sell a design to be mass produced, or is that not even something that you're interested in and you would want to stay small and handmade?
I've thought about that, but then I feel like what makes someone's stuff unique is that it is one of a kind, it is handmade. And then if you sell a design to a bigger company and they mass produce it, it's going to be overseas. It's not going to have the detail, and it's going to be made out of cheaper material.
Yeah,
so I guess for me personally, I probably wouldn't ever want to have anything mass produced.
I love that. I think it's so important to know like what your values are as a brand and where you want to take it.
For me anyway, I like working with my hands. So if I can't physically make it, I don't really have any interest in it.
Do you think it's a big problem in the industry that needs to be fixed, or is it something that's just always going to be there as far as copying and all that?
I think it's always going to be there. Like, I don't know how you would stop the copying. Or the poaching of designs. And like, the people who think that there's nothing wrong with the copying, like, they just need to change their mindset. Like, they're gonna wake up one day and have someone rip their design off and be super pissed about it. And then they'll realize that it's not okay to steal someone else's design. So I think it's gonna have to come from a personal level to change the outcome.
Yeah. I think from a longevity standpoint too, of how boring to build a brand around copying other people and always trying to, you know, you're always going to be in second place if you're doing that because somebody else did it first.
We've heard a lot of feedback from small business owners or creatives about like ways that people can constantly be supporting them, especially when we're looking at like your Instagram, or we're in this like really visual space
where even if I'm not spending money to buy purses every week from you, how else could I support you in a way that's helpful to your business?
Oh, I just love getting nice comments from people. Like, even if somebody just like private messaged me like, I love what you made, it's beautiful. I mean, that's the biggest compliment in the world, whether they purchase anything or not.
That's definitely me. I slide into your DMs probably, I would say, once every couple months because I'm just blown away. We're actually sitting here with a, we're not sure if it's a vest.
Looks like the front placket of a jacket, maybe.
All I'm telling you is I'm looking at a Basset Hound and a hamburger, and I am
just floored. And two bottles of Dr. Pepper.
Just floored. Yeah.
It was the beginning of, like, I was going to try to make a nudie-style suit.
Yes.
And that was Smokey and the Bandit theme. So that's
It just gets better and better.
Sandwich with the Dr. Peppers. I haven't finished it yet. You know, I started it, like, a year and a half ago.
That's
as far as I got.
Let me put this out in the universe. If there is an NFR this year, which there will be, we should all collaborate on a suit.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw some of Abby's designs for Vegas for me last year. She is an incredible sewist, seamstress. all that good stuff, designer, and that would be, I can't even think of anything better than to have. I
positively lose my mind, Ashley.
Same.
We could definitely collaborate. If you want to sew the thing together, I can embroider it, because that's where I get stuck, is putting stuff together. It's like, I can get the design down, and then when it comes to put the pieces together, it's like, I don't feel like it anymore.
Oh. I wish you could see her with her arms in the air, her blinged out sunglasses on.
Ashley, you're making my little hungover heart very happy.
Give me a message later.
Yes. Done. I think this is what Instagram should be about.
Yes.
Collaboration and staying in your own lane. You know what you're good at. And just making other people awesome.
And there you have it, folks.
Oh my gosh. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for being on with us. Where can people find you?
So I've got my Instagram handle. It's 76 and Riveted. I think that's what it is.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. My website is www.76andriveted.com.
Yay.
All right. Well, perfect. Thank you so much. So everyone, make sure that you're going and checking out Ashley's amazing work. Scroll back, find those Basset Hounds.
Yes.
And make sure you like, comment on her stuff, and send her those sweet little love notes.
Oh, I love it. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next week.